Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, sorry about not posting the show the other week. For 2 weeks nearly, I posted it. I put the files up and then I thought I posted it. Apparently I hadn't. And no one reminded me. So you're all officially charged as a posting monitor. So after the Monday, if it hasn't gone up, send me an email saying, "Oi, you wanker, where is it?" Because I'm a bit crap. A little bit crap. Sorry about that. So feel free to send that email because it's okay. That's the only time it's perfectly all right. Joining me to discuss a very short week in tech with not much news, actually. So it's good we've got not much people. Two fantastic luminaries of the technology world. First of all, I've over-egged that one a bit.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the other one.
Who's the other one?
Chris, hey, Jeff.
Chris Campion, how the devil are you, man?
I'm good. I'm not bad at all. Thanks, you.
Now you bust your leg, as we all know. How's the leg healing?
It's doing okay. I mean, cast number two, the swelling had dropped down, so the first cast, the purple cast, it had got to a stage where it looked like I was wearing my dad's welly. So I had to go back to the fracture clinic last week. They've put another cast on there, and I'm back next week. Hopefully they'll replace it with a boot then, and I can take this cast off now. It's properly at itchy stage now.
Never mind the swelly, mate. What about the smelly?
I'll be honest. I can't get my head right down there to check, but I've not had any complaints. But it wouldn't surprise me.
I didn't need to with mine. I had my cast on when I did my metatarsal was on for 6 weeks solid, and you didn't need extensions, mate. It was like it came to me.
I think I'm grateful then that I've had this one replaced. Although I've got to be honest, when they cut it open, I was horrified at what my leg looked like underneath it. It was skinny as anything, and snake skin, untrue in there.
Yeah, no. The problem is with it when they say, "I'll put a bag on it when you go for a shower." So you put a bag on it, and your leg sweats in the cast, and then you take the bag off, and it's just the bacteria go, "Oh, lunch," and that's it.
They're absolutely.
Off.
So yeah, I'm glad it's not too cold out there because no socks, obviously can't get a shoe on or anything like that. So I'm living in shorts, which I like. I'd live in shorts full time if I could anyway. But I'm desperate to have it taken off now and have a proper shower.
Yeah, I'm northern lads.
Fingers crossed next week they'll give me a boot instead.
You northern lads.
Aye.
There's a lad used to play, I don't think he's from up your neck of the woods, but he used to play golf even through the winter in a pair of shorts, and then he'd change into a pair of trousers to come in for a beer.
Golf club. I wear jeans for work generally, but yeah, it's shorts all year round outside of work if I can possibly get away with it.
Yeah. And next to him, Jeffrey, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, and my leg smells fine too.
Excellent. Well, you know, because you've got no pants on, so.
True.
Now, how have you been? What's been going on in your life?
I just trying to stay caught up with all the stuff that's been going on since my trip's been.
Oh, I suppose Macworld's been a bit different, hasn't it? So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got the new iPhones, the new Apple Watch, the new operating systems, all that stuff dumped at once, and I feel like I'm just now at the point where I'm getting caught up.
I haven't put the new OS on the Mac yet, so I'm going to try that, I think, on the laptop this weekend.
I'm running it on my main machine. I'm running it right now. And it actually is better than the betas. And the betas were pretty good.
Cool. Well, I'm going to give it a go this weekend, like I say.
Well, have fun.
And I've already got iOS 12 on my brand new iPhone, which I love. Quite good.
Awesome. I didn't get a new iPhone this year because AT&T is messed up with their annual upgrade plan right now.
No,
so.
I did because I went from a 7 to this and it's really good. I'm really chuffed.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a jump.
Camera, I'm not totally sent on. The pictures are generally better, but you've got to manipulate afterwards. You can't just allow it to do what the hell it wants. And the portrait facility, God, that's good.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's very cool.
But it's not a Mac show. This is an Apple-free zone now from now onwards. Anyway.
Good, we got that out of our system.
We've got to bring a story party. So you bring a tech story from the week, and we try and chat through it. And there's not been a lot of news this week, and there's only three of us, so this might only be 2 hours. The last time The last time we had three people on was, I think, was me, Muller, and Rich Harkness, and we did one of the best shows we've ever done. We had a really good chat.
Of course
you
did.
It was 2 hours long, so we've got to be careful. I was going to say, have a race and see who's got the first story. Should we be British about it, Cam? Should we let Jeff go first?
Yeah, go on. I've thrown it in the chat room. Go on, Jeff.
Oh, well, hold on. Let me grab my story.
And if we've both chosen the same story this week, we have a problem.
Real trouble.
No, we actually didn't.
I'll say it this week. Mine's actually a last
China
week story.
Chip pack.
Yours is the what?
The Chinese government supposedly putting spy chips onto Supermicro servers that went out to Amazon and Apple, like 30 different companies plus U.S. government agencies. And the chip allows the Chinese government to remotely intercept data that's passing through the computer, or to remotely control a machine. And it's fascinating, because if this really did happen, China managed to pull off the most amazing hack in history, because they were able to actually put these spy chips onto the motherboards during the production process. And the chip itself is like smaller than a grain of rice. And, of course, everyone is denying any knowledge of this now that the story's out. And there are issues with the story, because so many people are saying, yeah, no, we never reported anything to the FBI. We never had issues with our servers. And, It's a fascinating thing, and Amazon and Apple both issued statements that were very clear about their stance on this whole thing, and in Apple's case, they said, yeah, no, this never happened. We did cancel our contract with the company that makes the servers, but it was for a completely different reason, and that's actually been publicly documented, and we never had anything to report to the FBI. We're unaware of any FBI investigations, and Amazon's statement is along the same lines.
So Amazon found it and reported it to U.S. authorities, and there's a line here that just fills you with dread, doesn't it? Elemental servers could be found in the Department of Defense data centers, the CIA's drone operations, and the onboard networks of Navy warships.
Uh-huh.
And an Elemental was just one of hundreds of Supermicro customers.
So, good now get me. This. Amazon, they supposedly started uncovering this with their own servers when they were in the process of investigating Elemental to see if they wanted to buy the company. And so what the Bloomberg piece says is that Amazon ended up in the process finding out there's some weird stuff that they couldn't quite explain, so they start looking at their own servers. They find these chips, and so they contact the FBI and say, hey, take a look at our computers, what the hell. And supposedly the FBI, CIA, and NSA already had information that China was going to be doing this. And then just all of a sudden, right in their lap, there it is. Yep, they were actually doing it. Now, Amazon bought Elemental. So the company is one of the companies linked into all this, they ended up buying them. Which on one hand seems kind of weird, but on the other hand, they really wanted the software. So they bought the company that makes the software and now run it on their own custom hardware. So they're not using the Supermicro servers anymore. But yeah, it's kind of creepy.
So the Apple thing is true that it didn't happen, isn't it? Because GCHQ have come out and said that they verified that. Apple hasn't been done. They had a thing in a test bed that they noticed and they got rid of it before it went anywhere. So,
yeah, Apple was very clear about everything that Bloomberg was saying about them is wrong.
Yeah. But they would say that.
And Apple even went so far as to say, we are not involved in any FBI investigation, nor is there an investigation we can't talk about.
No.
So when they say both of those things, that means there really is no investigation. Because if they were under a gag order, they couldn't say either way.
Mm. Yeah, no. GCHQ have intervened, and quite how GCHQ know that Apple, because their own chips that GCHQ put on Apple servers have verified that the other chips aren't on the servers as well.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. So now the big thing is, what the hell Bloomberg? Because this is a really big piece.
Well, there's a libel in that as well, isn't there?
There's a lot of it's very wrong.
I don't know very much about libel with companies. How it
that was going to be my question. So if Bloomberg haven't got this right, where's the liability law around it? Where did Bloomberg stand?
Well, what's the liability law around it? The libel law around it, rather, and what's the libel law in America? Because that could be two completely different things.
Oh, they're not going to get sued over this.
They're not. So you can write what you like in the press and get away with it.
Pretty much. And Bloomberg, they can come up with a defense where they were reporting in good faith and that they believed their sources and they had multiple sources and were verifying. Therefore, they were not intending to slander or libel any company.
When was this meant to happen? Because there's a part further down that says the company's denials are countered by six current and former senior national security officials who, in conversations that began during the Obama administration and continued under Trump, detailed the discovery of the chips in the government's investigation.
This is back between around 2015, 2016.
So I've got a definition for you. In the United States, federal defamation law is closely tied to the First Amendment. In short, an opinion is not considered defamation in the US in general. That being said, false statements of fact that harm the reputation of an individual or business are not protected by the Constitution under free speech provision. So Apple do have a right of action here.
I don't think the case would go anywhere.
No, I mean, it wouldn't get in a court because they'd buckle and pay them some money and that'd be the end of it. But they do have a right of action. And I've got to say, if I was Tim Cook, I might even just do it to flutter me wings a little bit and say, you know, don't do this again, in effect, by raising a lawsuit.
Well, I think Apple, they have probably already internally done what they can to cause even more financial harm for Bloomberg, because I mean, they said in their big statement they're very disappointed in Bloomberg.
Yeah,
and I think that was Apple speak for, well, all the sources that Bloomberg has been able to take advantage of over the years, the people that speak to Mark Gurman, all these sources, they just ended right now. And I think Apple just cut Bloomberg out of their news and information stream.
Go into iTunes and see if you can find the Bloomberg app.
Yeah.
No. 30 companies affected by this, they reckon. The thing that's interesting to me is, what are the Chinese government doing in Amazon? Are they looking for spending habits? Or...
My guess is they would be looking for the stuff that other people are storing there, because this was supposedly the Amazon Web Service servers, which were initially created to handle U.S. government needs.
Could there be any almost like financial fraud as part of this. Quite a way down the article, and I've spent quite a bit of time reading it, it says Elemental Servers sold for as much as $100,000 each at profit margins as high as 70%. Two of Elemental's biggest early clients were the Mormon Church, who used the technology to beam sermons to congregations around the world, and the adult film industry, which obviously didn't. Now,
I loved that line.
That's all it was. That's all it was. They wanted to hit the adult film industry to get free porn. So they had to hit all the servers regardless to make sure that they got the porn.
Yeah, to make sure they hit the jackpot. To make sure they got the money shot.
I see what you did there.
I think, right, they put it on Amazon servers. This is the Chinese government launching an entire project around this to put it on Amazon servers. And the chip actually stops Amazon from showing you what you bought yesterday as a suggested purchase. If you're in China. Well,
I would pay extra for that.
You could see that. And that's a public service for their business, isn't it? So
that is.
They put this chip on to stop all Chinese people getting the same thing that they just purchased yesterday in their would you like to buys. That's all it is. I'm telling you.
Genius.
Storm over nothing.
Brilliant.
I wish the British government would do that. I want to know why GCHQ knew. That's the big thing. No, Apple's right. We're in their servers. We know exactly what's going on.
We knew before Apple did.
None of this has happened. I need to find that story because there might be an explanation of that. By the way, if you work at GCHQ and you listen to this, and I'm sorry, there's no need to come round. I'm joking. We come in the basement of Cheltenham with testicles, with the electrodes on my testicles next week.
And not in a good way.
No. Don't know where Ewan's gone. No idea.
This is you. I can't believe this hasn't been. There hasn't been more news on this. It's kind of brilliant and massive.
Well, it is, but I think it got killed a little bit because everyone said it about, and Apple denied it, and Apple have proved that it hasn't happened now with the help of GCHQ. So people are always kind of like, well, okay, maybe it's not true about all the rest then, and it's lost interest. And Bloomberg's the only one that's peddling it. I don't know any other agencies that have picked this up and run with it.
I haven't seen it.
It was huge yesterday when it came out. And then by yesterday afternoon, Apple had just tromped all over it with their rebuttal.
Yeah, but that's the point is there are other companies affected here other than Apple. And just because Apple's was wrong doesn't mean all the others are wrong. But everyone is now going, well, if it's not Apple, then it didn't happen.
Yeah. So, so this could still be a true thing. But with some details wrong, like how Apple's involved.
But all the rest has been ignored because Apple have quashed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Bloomberg doesn't list the other companies. They say Apple and Amazon, and I read through the whole thing, and I don't remember seeing
there's
any other companies.
No, they haven't listed the companies, absolutely, but they say the Olympic Games was affected. These servers communicate with the International Space Station. And they funnel drone footage to the CIA.
And they distribute porn.
Yeah. I can't think there isn't a server on the planet that doesn't distribute porn now. That's that's not fair.
That's the primary purpose of the internet, web servers.
The internet is for porn. Isn't there a song about that? Yeah, from Avenue Q. There is. There's a song called The Internet is for Porn.
Yep.
And Navy warships. So if you're Navy warships PLC, you're in trouble. I just think the Chinese government are going to get loads of stuff that they probably won't use and don't care about, but they're going to get little nuggets out of all of it that they probably do.
Yeah.
So that's why they've hit it as broad as it is. How did they get it in then? Is it a James Bond thing where a guy's gone in the production line or have they...
It was in the production line.
They supposedly definitely haven't put it in afterwards.
Well, so supposedly what happened was after production on the servers had been underway for a while, then the People's Liberation Army agents showed up at a subcontractor factory. So like when the main contractors were overloaded with orders, they had other companies that they would subcontract to make even more servers. And so they went to one of these and initially tried to bribe the factory management to make these modifications to the motherboards. And when the bribe didn't work, then they were like, okay, well, you know, now you're going to have some serious problems with the Chinese government. And then that was all it took. And they made the modifications to the motherboards, added these chips they were provided, and out they went.
I'm just looking at the story. It doesn't actually say what the chip was doing.
Yeah, it does.
Really?
I can't find it. It's kind of buried in there. It can do two things. Its primary function is to act as a gateway. So it has a small bit of code that it runs, but then it can link back out to remote servers to get additional code to do more things. So it can intercept the data that's passing through the motherboard and then send that off to a remote server. Or it can take code sent into it from a remote server and load that onto the motherboard.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So it's piggybacking the functionality of the server to make itself more powerful. Because it's not got an onboard facility to do a great deal.
Right.
Yeah.
If all of this is true, it's a very, very clever design.
So they must have had
total read-write capability by the sound of it.
Yeah, and they designed the chip to look like it's a power modulator.
It's the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah, you have to do like a really serious investigation to know that this teeny tiny little chip is not what it appears to be.
Okay, on the board. If you go to the story that Jess posted there, there's actually an animation of the board. There's a full board stripping away the components of everything. And then a little circle appears where it was. And you can't even barely see it on a big screen with a Retina display.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Look at all that being stripped away. And you know how big a processor amount is. That's loopy small.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and if you fix the position and watch everything being stripped away, it's embedded in other structures around it which look identical. Jesus. That's been put in at manufacturing, definitely, because it's under something as well. Bloody hell.
Yeah, and supposedly they had come up with a new version of this chip, which may or may not have gone into production, excuse me, where it was actually sandwiched between the fiberglass layers on the board. So you'd have to use an X-ray to even see that the chip is there.
Ooh. That was one thorough teardown, isn't it, when they found that against the original plans of the motherboards.
There's nothing left on the board, are
you? Yeah.
All the new chips are in Teslas.
Yeah.
That's a joke as well, Elon.
He won't care.
Elon, are you listening? No. Okay. Oh, well. Good story, mate. Excellent story. That's worrying and alarming.
It is.
Did you think then maybe it facilitated the Facebook hack then, Camps?
I don't think it facilitated, but this obviously, it's a week old as this one, because we didn't have a show last week. I thought it's still worth us having a little chat about it. And I think this hit the news, obviously, because 50 million sounds like a massive number.
It's nothing, is it?
It's nothing compared to the 2 billion monthly active accounts that Facebook have got. But actually, when you see the headlines on this, and it was all over BBC News and the Tea Time News last week and everything about the 50 million accounts being compromised, and then actually you start reading into the story a little bit more. I think it's quite clever how this has all happened, and I don't believe they've found out who it is that's done it yet, or I've certainly not come across that. But ultimately, the attackers exploited a vulnerability in the code that affects the view as. So within your Facebook account, there's a feature in there that lets you have a look at your own profile, almost like as if you're looking it through someone else's account. So you can see how your security looks and what's visible to
them. Which YouTube does as well, doesn't it? It lets you see how your page works for other people, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all done through an access token. And it was a vulnerability within that access token that was exploited. And that's where you don't need to type in your password every time when it stores it on your mobile device or on your PC or something like that. And that's every time you visit that site or that particular app. But obviously, if an attacker's got your token, then they have access to your account. That's ultimately the way it works. So, like I say, 50 million is a big number, but nothing compared to the 2 billion active users a month that Facebook have got. But what I did quite like is the way that Facebook seem. I mean, ultimately, the way that they've dealt with it when this news is broken, and what Facebook have done is the first thing that they've done is they've cleared the access tokens of the 50 million accounts that they identified as being hacked.
Yeah.
And they also did another 40 million on top of that as well. And they're for people who had it used the view as feature in the last 12 months. So in total, they wiped the access tokens of 90 million accounts. So if you're regularly using your Facebook account on a device and it automatically lets you in and you go to let you go to log into it and suddenly it doesn't, there's a very good chance that, yes, yours was one of the compromised accounts and therefore Facebook deleted your access token to prevent your account being used. Ultimately, so it does seem that Facebook have been pretty active in terms of doing that to prevent people getting in. And on that basis, they've sort of called out, you don't really need to go in and change your password if you don't want to. But obviously, it's good practice.
Well, your password hasn't been affected by this, and changing your password wouldn't add anything or insecurity.
Wouldn't add anything. So. I think it might prompt a few people to start using two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Just from a, it is there, I've never used it in the past. Now I know about it, I might use it. But absolutely, your password hasn't gone. It's purely because of the access token. And Facebook have been pretty quick to come out and say that they've patched the security vulnerability. So if you haven't been logged out, chances are you're not impacted and you don't need to do anything at all. So good news there. But yeah, big story in the press last week. And ultimately, it all comes down to a big number that isn't a big number in my view.
So on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of actual security damage that was done, this is fairly low.
Very low. But yeah. the fact that it's Facebook means it gets news, doesn't it? It gets column inches. It gets the 10 o'clock news, the tea time news.
Do you think they went public with this because someone said, "I'm going to go public if you don't go public," or is it they just did the right thing to do and we should be applauding them for that?
I think given everything else that Facebook have gone through in the last year or so, I think it's just good publicity for them to come out, say what's happened and how they've recovered it quickly, and also kill the story that it's not as big a deal as the headline might make out.
Yeah, go on, Jeff.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is a way for Facebook to control the message because they preemptively got the information out there and it looks a lot better for them, especially in light of all of the other things that they've had to deal with for the past year.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the Senate committee, haven't we, that Zuckerberg attended, so. So, yeah, that was kind of not... How well did he emerge from that? Realistically, how well did you think he emerged from that episode?
I think that he came across like kind of a jerk and as if he wasn't even a real human and he was simply trying to mimic human action to fit in, and I don't think he was believable, and in the end it doesn't even matter at all.
That was going to be my point. Who cares other than him? And
because probably Facebook continues to be Facebook and do its thing, and nothing, there are no repercussions. So Zuckerberg did his little theater thing, and that's it.
Yeah, no.
Wasn't there a big some big news this week on Priscilla? Priscilla Chan.
Go on.
Was it? I'm just trying to think. I'm sure there was some big news on Priscilla this week. I'm just trying to find it now. And I was thinking, how was... I didn't really read the story, but I'm just trying to find it. To, you know, is that a really good news story that runs alongside the dirt that's been thrown at Mark? Almost as a bit of a, you know, just try and take some of the news away. Wish I could find it. I wish I could find the story. Now I'm scrolling, but I can't find it. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure Jeff would have chipped in if he'd heard anything.
It doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, no, I've probably picked the wrong end of that stick up. Yeah, can't find it. Ignore that. Yeah, I don't think it's done him. I don't think it's done him any harm, because I don't think anybody particularly cares. And I think there's that many people who absolutely live their life by Facebook and can't do without it now and won't move off it, that it's probably not done either. I've not seen any impact to the share price as a result of this story. I don't think it's touched Facebook.
No.
Nope.
I think it just makes news because 50 million sounds like a huge number to people who are not following the story. I don't actually have an idea of how many active users there are.
There's more money made from people clicking the links than there is lost by Facebook from the story, by tenfold.
Yeah.
I just said. Yeah. My story, this is a classic. The Feely Finger.
Saw this.
Has been developed by a French researcher. His research grants in, I don't know, but I want some of his money. The Moby Limb finger can crawl across the desk, waggle for attention. Let me just press play here on the video. When a message arrives, and it can also use the digit to control apps and games, and it can stroke its owner on the hand.
Right, on the hand. That's right.
Which could on the hand. Yeah, you could see something else going between those two interfaces, can't you?
Come on, Jeff, show us yours.
You know, if mine was opposable like that.
That has got so many users, that's so wrong.
So here you go, the finger raises up so you can watch a movie. Can be used by games and avatars, so it can make a thing waggle or a scorpion tail. If you touch the phone, it jabs you, I suppose. And lots of messages related to sexual stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or is it, you see, the problem with you choosing this story, Ewan, is that Jeff don't have a cool thing now.
And it knows when you're pressing it as well, which is kind of cool. The thing is, with all of these stories, what he's done, he's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. That is kind of cool. But what are you going to do with it next?
You're going to stick it in your pants. That's what you're going to do with it next.
This is going straight to the sex toy industry.
Well, yeah, the finger's got an obvious strumming technique to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, this to me looks like the holiday gift for all the ladies in your life.
The only problem is the finger. Can the finger rotate? Because it points at the screen too much. It can rotate because you saw it crawling at the start. So yeah, you can do that. Yeah, and oh, of course, you've got the interaction of the phone with a bit of FaceTime going on.
Yeah,
and the finger wiggling.
It's exactly what that was developed for.
Yeah, I'll rest my case then. Fair enough. I thought it was going to be boring, but it's clearly the best thing ever made.
The story of the night.
Everyone needs one of these.
Where is it? I've looked at the story this afternoon. I'm like, where is it going? What's it doing? It's cool. I love the fact that it can drag your phone across the desk to where you are, like it's a wounded animal.
Yeah,
Master, I brought you your phone.
The stroking on the hand thing. The thing is, so there's the thing, right? You get this thing, and it probably does it really quietly. So it's not like when it comes across the desk, because it's moving so slowly. So it gets up, and you're sitting concentrating on a piece of work, and then it comes up, and it knows where your hand is, and it just kind of reaches out and dabs your hand. And you're like, Jesus, and you bat it across the room. And you smash your phone as a result.
And now, you know, someone says, hey, how's your day going? And you say, oh, I broke my phone and my finger.
It's a replacement for Siri. You just say, call 911, and it actually dials 911 because Siri can't do it. Because all Siri does when you ask for 911 is dial local cinemas near you. That's what happened.
Dial 911, next thing, pizza arrives.
there's some really inappropriate link to Alexa. There's a thing for Alexa, isn't there, about if you ask her to marry you at the moment?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hang on. Alexa, will you marry me?
Thank you. I made a promise to myself I won't get married until Mark is colonized.
Oh, there you go. So she won't get married to... She won't get married until Mars is colonized. It's a bit random, isn't it?
All right. Well, at least we know when you can start asking her again, Ewan.
I'd have picked other stage gates myself than that. there's optimism in that, isn't there? That the Amazon Echo is going to last long enough until we colonize Mars. It's...
Or that humans will last long enough to colonize Mars.
Well, exactly. Did you see the press release from Mad Musk about sending artists around Mars? He's going to send an artist from each field. So there'll be a literary, a photographic, a painting. A painting's going to be fun, isn't it? Especially if it's watercolors. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that'd be really fast.
Yeah. There might be oils. But, I mean, you had a bit of a rough ride and you come back and it's like Jackson Pollock on the inside of the capsule.
Oh, my God.
And worth a fortune, not just the spacecraft. But, yeah, no, that was... when he did that, I was kind of like, I love the idea of that, but you're off your face, boy.
You know, I like the idea, too, because there's a lot that we don't really grasp about space or other planets, because all we have are the perspective of scientists.
Yes.
So it would be great to have artists give us their impression of space.
Yeah, it totally would.
Other planets. But yeah, holy crap. Elon needs an intervention, I'm guessing.
Well, he nearly got it the other week, didn't he, from the FBI?
Yeah, that was close.
Yeah, there was a squeaky point moment there, and he ducked out of it by saying, I'm still going to be CEO, but I'm just not going to be making active decisions. Bob Beach has put, that thing looks like something from the Addams Family.
It does.
Yeah, but Muskies, I really want him to be on this side of genius, not on the other side.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah.
And
he could be a Bond villain.
Yeah, there was a thing I put in the Slack room as well, which was like, this guy's, you know, don't compare him to Howard Hughes, because Howard Hughes could run a business at least, whereas this guy's just leveraged to the hilt, to the point that he can't exist. But then he's still making money doing the government contracts, isn't he, for the space station and for defense and that kind of stuff. So It's like, hold a press release. What should we hold a press release in? I know, let's go to the back end of a big, frigging, massive rocket. Oh, yeah, they won't be able to top that. Don't you think we should green screen it? No, let's use the big rocket.
Yeah, the BFG.
Yeah, BFR.
Oh, BFR, that's right.
Yeah, big friendly giant one there, mate.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe they're sending the big friendly giant. Maybe they're sending the big friendly giant in the thing, because... Apparently, this is the rocket they're talking about is big enough to hold 100 people.
Yeah.
Now imagine they can't get any more compressed than an airline seat. So if you imagine Ryanair in your head or EasyJet, then that's going to probably be about the dimensional sizes. So that's a whole plane.
Mm-hmm.
Like an EasyJet plane, isn't it? It's about 100 people on an EasyJet, 80 people.
Yeah, and. And packing that many people in that small a space for that long, there'll be maybe 30 of them that are still alive by the time they get to Mars. the rest of them, and turned into lamps.
Well, no, I think there's only going to be 12, isn't there, going on the original thing. So it's not... It's
yeah, but when they ramp up to a full load.
Yeah, when they get to a full load, not all of those people... I mean, you can't live like that for 105 days.
No, you can't.
So you're going to have what, 10 times that space or something stupid for people to actually physically not kill each other, as you say. Yeah. And if someone kills someone, it'd be like, it's not like, what's it, Crippin with the text across the Atlantic. It's a bit different, isn't it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited. And would you do it?
No.
You wouldn't do an orbit of Mars if it was perfectly safe to, or, you know, relatively safe to do it.
If it could be done as a round trip, maybe.
Yeah, just a free return trajectory round Mars and back, and it was relatively safe.
Well, I'll be back for tea.
Well, which year you need to specify, but yes. You'd be back for a tea.
I don't know.
Just think of the food and water you've got to take for that length of time as well. So on a,
yeah, most of your ship is just going to be supplies.
Yeah, and then all the piss and shit comes out. And they were talking about, weren't they, that couple, you know, they asked for a couple who were probably going to die on Mars. And there was another guy who was going to do the, was it Space One, where they were going to go around and back? And they were talking about actually using all the shit and piss and putting it into tanks around the outside. So as you got further away and the radiation built more and more and more, you were putting more piss and shit into the tanks, and the piss and shit would absorb the radiation. I've got to say.
I thought they were just putting the shit in, and they were recycling the pee.
Up until Wednesday, my piss and shit would probably give off more radiation. I told you we should go freeform, boys.
Oh, my God. Is this big show or pinch?
Yeah, a bit of pinch, baby. A bit of pinch coming in. Skidmark says you got on Firefox.
Oh, Firefox.
By allowing block content, better late than never.
That's a great point, Bob Beach.
You could use the shit to grow potatoes. I don't know if that's true. How close was the Martian?
You can't, because when you start mixing together from different people, like their poop.
Shit, potatoes,
then
explosive.
You start having problems with bacteria and cross-contamination for people. And
well, it's
you
only manure.
A lot of people that get really sick.
It is only manure, but it is human manure. So the zoonosis risk is right there, isn't it? But not that it's zoonosis because it's not across animals. But did they say whether there was a technical feasibility in the Martian storyline? And they just took a couple of liberties, or was it just completely outlandish?
No, because he was using only his own shit.
No, he
didn't.
That's
why it was okay.
No, yeah, because he pulled open one of the commander's ships.
In the movie, they totally screwed it up because he grabbed everyone's.
Oh, so in the book...
Yeah, in the book, he went through the bin and pulled out the ones that were tagged with just his name.
Well, he wouldn't have got enough shit then, surely.
I don't know how much he pooped.
They'd only been there for a couple of days.
Oh, that's a really good point. I forgot about that. I mean,
he's got
that's not much poop.
4 shits for what? He's got an entire crop of 1,000 potatoes there, and he's only had 4 craps.
Maybe he was adding more of his own poop over time.
See, now, I never saw that in the film where he just thought, you know what, I'm not going to go and open another one and mix it with some water. I'm just going to squat. You couldn't do that. You couldn't eat a potato. You cut a potato in half and put it in the ground and then take a dump on top of it. And yeah, I'm coming back for that in a couple of weeks. It'll be fine.
We've never been trapped on Mars, so
Martian soil's really cleansing. Mind you, if the only way to survive was on Mars till they came to get you was to eat your own shit, you'd probably still do it, so...
Yeah. I'd like to think that I would die with dignity, but no, I'd probably be saved with really bad breath.
No, in that kind of situation, whilst you would like to think that there was a Titanic in you, you actually probably died screaming for your mama and you know, in a bad way.
Probably. Yeah.
Surely would. Bob Beat says, no, he used everyone's. Did he, are you saying no, he used everyone's?
In the movie,
in the
he
book?
Used everyone's.
Or are you saying in the movie, Bob? You've got to be careful here.
In the book, he used only his own. And, yeah, come on, Bob. Even explained why
we need some facts on this show tonight.
Yeah, Christ. This is
you know, now you can see the quality of people you have. The last time it was just three people and you had an amazing show.
Exactly. So
this time,
the
you've
right
got
three people.
This.
Right, now the thing is, Jeff, so now what I want to know is, what are the differences between the book and the film other than the poo thing?
The way he set up the room for the potatoes, there were some differences there. They totally left out the issues with the water reclamation system.
What happened in the book on the water reclamation system then?
It started to fail because it was being used in ways that it had never been intended, first, for longer than it was supposed to be used. But then second, it was also having to process all of this moisture in the air that was being produced from the potato farm.
Right. But that would be a good thing, though, surely, because surely his urine would get more and more concentrated slowly as it went, so that the water would get more and more.
Yeah, the filters were clogging up.
Yeah,
and so he had to fix it, and NASA. By this time, he's in contact with NASA, and they had this whole procedure they wanted him to do. And he's like,
"Is this like an Apollo 13 thing, and the square thing in the round hole?"
Yeah, and he's like, "Yeah, that's stupid." And he just took it apart and fixed it and put it back together, and NASA freaked out. And he's like, "Yeah, okay, so fire me."
As botanists do,
yeah,
thoroughly understand piss recycling systems.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff with his trip to get to the other landing site that wasn't there.
That was a bit A-team, wasn't it, in the movie? It's just like, you know, all of a sudden 400 days has disappeared of him going across from the Schiaparelli crater or going to the Schiaparelli crater.
And the whole thing with the nuclear core or radioactive core in the cabin of the little rover. No, that's not how he set it up. He pulled a trailer where he was using the core to heat water and doing heat transfer that way. So he didn't actually have a radioactive core sitting beside him in the little cabin.
There's a great film, and I can't remember the title of it. It's got, I was going to say Bob Hoskins, but it's not. What's his name? Ray Winston. It's got Ray Winston in it, where he's a scrap dealer, and he manages to get hold of a bit of uranium. And he's worried that he's going to get caught with it, so he buries it in a field. And then they put a mark down where it's going to be. And they disappear for a couple of days and go back into Bruges or somewhere like that. And then they realize they need it a few days later. So they go back out and it's snowed and the whole place is covered in snow. And it's like, well, where do we find it? I don't know. It all looks the same because it's all snowed now. I can't see which field it was. I can't see where my marks are. And then there's a bit where Ray Winston just says, I've found it. And there's this massive circle where it's all melted.
hot potato
from all the heat off it. Yeah, is that what it's called? Hot potato.
Yeah,
it's a brilliant film, and it's him trying to sell it and like not knowing how much it's worth, and it's a great film. Got to watch that. Are we done, boys? Do you want to talk about anything else?
I think so. What else is to talk about? The tech news has been poor this week.
Should we do a movie show?
You know something, movies, I can watch movies, I love movies. I cannot, give me two days later, I couldn't tell you what happens in a film. Every film, almost every film, regardless, I should just forget all about, forget the details.
But then if I had a conversation with you, I said Schindler's List and remembered bits about The Ring and the car he could have sold, and you'd remember.
And I'd be like, yeah. But yeah. I wouldn't be able to reel all the stuff that Jeff just rolled off about the Martian there.
Yeah, well, the trade-off is I can't remember my own address.
I find him running around the streets in Boulder.
So, all right. Well, I have a TV show question for you guys. And I know that I'm incredibly late to this because I'm in the United States. I watched the first episode of Misfits the other night.
I've never seen it, so I can't help.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Well,
Is it a Britannia thing that you need ironing out that I might be able to help with, or do I need to know that I need to watch The Misfits?
No, I was just curious if you guys had seen it and if it's worth watching beyond the first episode.
I've heard good things about The Misfits, but I've never watched it. So,
all right, well, I'll let you know.
Bob Beechler have watched it because he's watched everything, done everything, bought everything. So, and I'm not saying that as in he's a know-it-all. He really has. So.
All right. Well, if Bob gives me the thumbs up, I'll keep watching.
And squeeze the professorship.
I did enjoy the first episode.
And squeeze the professorship in economics in there somewhere. On top, no.
A true Renaissance man.
I've got to say, I've given up an awful lot with the American series. Sharon and I went through a period where we were watching like the a lot of the American stuff. We watched Daredevil when that came out. We watched Orange is the New Black, you know, the Netflix stuff, and that all came out. And we watched the one, what's the one with James Spader in? Where he plays Red.
Yeah, it's...
We watched that for a couple of
series. I know what
you're
talking about. I can't remember what it's called.
And it was brilliant. And then they started to go into this long story arc about her, and it was just, oh, stick it. I've had enough now. Bob Beach hasn't seen The Misfits. Jesus.
All right. Well, Bob, I'll let you know if it's any good.
That's shocking. Did you see the thing with Ben Kingsley where he plays the Nazi that got caught in 60-61, Eichmann? It's called Operation Finale or Finale. It's a Netflix only movie. And I saw a junket thing on it on Sky the other week. And I thought, that looks really good. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to see that when it comes out in the cinema or if it comes out on TV. And then lo and behold, I was scrolling through Netflix the other day. It's right on there because it's a Netflix film. It's come straight out.
Operation Finale.
Yeah, Operation Finale. And
I'll watch it.
It's got Oscar Isaacs in it, and he's very good in it as well. And it's got the French girl who was in Inglourious Bastards. She's very good in it too. And quite a few other actors that I hadn't seen before but look vaguely familiar. You know, that kind of good character actor that just you never know the name of.
Mm.
And it was good. It was a good film. And Kingsley's really good as Eichmann. Really good. So, it's not gruesome.
He's good in everything I've seen him in.
He's a good actor, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But it's well worth watching. Really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that. And I watched Source Code again the other day. And that was pretty cool as well. I'd forgotten about that one. That was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, okay.
Where he's the dead... he's not dead. He's the captain, isn't he? That we're doing loads of spoilers here, by the way. but that was really good. Bob says, not seen that, but it sounds good. If you're referring to the Operation Finale one, yeah, it is.
I haven't set it onto my watch list. I might even watch that tonight.
And I didn't realise as well, Mossad... after the war, just went round pulling Germans out from places that they thought were guilty and shoot them in their garden.
Oh, my God.
Because right at the start of the movie, I'm not giving anything away, right at the start of the movie, they go and get this guy, and there's subterfuge as a British soldier comes up, Isaacs as a British soldier comes up, and they say, so-and-so, and we've got some papers. And he says, yes, no problem. And he steps out of his door, and then these two guys pounce on him and drag him off. And the guy goes in to confront the wife and tell him that he's, you know, a bastard of a husband, he's going to serve it. He's due because he's a bad lad. She said, but he's not. He was like a medic. And he says, no. He said, this is so and so. Son's so and so, and son's his other son so and so. And this little girl comes from behind the woman, and then he's pelting off, going, stop! And they've already shot him.
Oh my God!
Yeah, Bob Beach like Source Code apparently. But no, I didn't realise at the start. It's just like, you know, they're not trying to make people out to be saints or sinners or that kind of stuff. It was just like Mossad were running around the world just pulling people out from their living rooms and shooting them in their garden. You'll do. Close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah. Can't think of any of the films I've watched, really. But anyway, it's nothing to do with The Big Show. So we've managed to record 54 minutes, so that's all right. We've padded it out nicely, I think, with a big pile of bollocks. Time nicely for our wonderful sponsors, TSO Host. We are completely on TSO Host now. We've done a transfer of everything. Everything's off. All of the stuff. And the thing is, you lot didn't even notice. We've been absolutely brilliant. Patrice has done an enormous amount of work, as has Anders. They have got everything off the servers. They've migrated it all across, and it's all been as smooth as silk. The only thing we're left waiting on is the British Tech Network domain finally coming over, because that's still pending. But that's due tomorrow, I think, or something like that. So that's it. It's done and dusted then. And you can migrate all your stuff over to TSO Host, and you can use an offer code BTN20. And BTN20 will get you 20% off all your hosting options that you've got with them. Mute, Camps. Good God, man.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, mate. And then this high-quality show should not be interrupted by banging and scratching in the background. You get 20% off all your hosting stuff. So get yourself over to tsohost.com. The prices are brilliant to start with. Then you get 20% off as well as. It's unreal. Get your stuff transferred over to them, because they mean the world to us. They've really looked after us the last couple of weeks. Thank you so much to them. Thanks also to Telestream, who've given us Wirecast, which is an absolutely fantastic piece of software that lets me do all this stuff. I've still got a bit of training required on this, because I still can't edit a shot without doing it live on screen, which is a bit of a pain in the ass. But we'll sort that out eventually, by the time it comes time to change again. But please support them. And as with TSO Host and Telestream, make sure you put a tweet out for us this week that says thanks at TSO Host, at Telestream, for supporting at British Tech, because we would be stuffed without them. And of course, there's the Uniku glasses as well. If you want Uniku glasses, or you just want replacement lenses for existing frames, all you got to do is send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk. And they'll sort the BTN people out with the BTN red card treatment, red carpet treatment, and you will get red carpet treatment, as Camps well knows.
Sporting is
fine, unique.
I love these. Yeah. Sort of love these Unikus. So comfortable, so light. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And he got to go out for a beer with Mark beforehand.
We did.
They're beautiful. Right, time for the cool things then. Camp, start us off. What is your...
Okay, I've got two. I've got a really quick one for listeners to the Serial podcast. If you enjoyed season one and two, season three dropped beginning of last week, maybe the end of the previous week. So if you're a listener and you've not seen that drop into your podcast feed, you need to get on there and download it and enjoy season three. I won't give any spoilers as to what this season's about, but get on there and have a listen. And I suppose my real cool thing this week is so my daughter had some...
Oh, thank God for that. I was sitting thinking, these are some new headphones I bought. I was thinking,
no.
You got bone tissue in your brain from your leg.
that link's currently unavailable. I'll put another link in because they definitely are available. My daughter needed some new headphones. She loves the music. She's been messing around with some wired ones for ages. So I dropped on a pair of these. They were $19.99 UK. I'll drop a link in with the available link on there, but really, really, really good quality. Actually, I'm quite impressed with them. Children sized. They're not too big on the headband, which I found when I tried to give her two or three pairs of various Bluetooth headphones that I had around my office here. So a sort of children's size headband, really comfortable, and the sound quality is pretty good out of them. Really easy to use with decent sized buttons, which was good, because what I don't want her to do is go messing around with buttons, then disconnecting the Bluetooth and having to reset it up for her all the time. And yeah, 20 quid, they worked really, really well. And we had about a 3-hour drive last week, and they lasted a 3-hour drive there and back. And she's been, in fact, I haven't charged them all week, so she's been using them during the week as well. So decent battery life.
That's an awesome battery life. God.
Like I say. Brian, kids' headphones, can't go too wrong with these at 20 quid.
Stick another link in, because
they're
lovely for Bryony. She's into her music at the moment. She's constantly using wired headphones.
Yeah, I was getting fed up of I just thought she's going to end up wrapping these around the neck if she ain't careful with the wired ones. I think that's how she broke them, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just not that. It's just like she does loads of craft, and her hands are always in the, you know, the wires in the way of her doing her craft and stuff.
Mm.
She loves watching YouTube while she's doing it, you know, piping it crafts and that kind of stuff, so...
I'll bob another link in for you.
Cheers, mate. Brilliant. Thank you. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, mate?
I have the PlugBug Duo. And it's pretty cool, because you get two USB ports for charging on it. And so you have a 2.1 amp and 1 amp, so you can charge tablet and phone at the same time, and it's pretty awesome. Plus, your little plug connector here is interchangeable, and it ships with a full set of world chargers. So this went to me on the London trip, and I used it there to keep my iPhone, my Apple Watch, and my iPad all charged up. But then it comes apart like this and pops onto your MacBook charger. And now mm-hmm. I can charge my laptop and two USB devices at the same time, anywhere in the world. This thing is fracking awesome. And
I reviewed the PlugBug World when it first came out, and that was just blew me away.
Yeah, so this is like the PlugBug World, except with the USB ports. The dual USB ports.
Yeah, that is good.
So yeah, so when I travel around the United States and I don't need to have my laptop with me, this is the charger that I take, because I can just plug in the stuff that I need and not have to carry extra plugs.
Excellent.
And I forgot what I paid for it. $49.99, so $50 US.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a good piece of kit.
For what it is, it's fantastic.
So, and as with all 12-star stuff, it's well manufactured, lovely quality. Bob says, have you seen Conspiracy with Kevin Branagh? No, it's his brother, Kenneth Branagh, as Heydrich and Stanley Tucci as Eichmann. It's a brilliant film. I'll go and look that out. Is that on Netflix, Bob? Like that. PlugBug's great. He says, had one for ages. Is this a new model?
Yes, it is. It's been out for a couple months, I think.
Cool. Excellent. My cool thing is a case for my iPhone. So I bought my iPhone and I loved it, and I got a coral case for it. And the one thing that kind of disappointed me with the Apple cases is when you put your phone in it, it's like you can't see your phone anymore. You can see the case, and then you can see the screen, and then that's it. You've lost the, you know, this comes in a lovely gold color. Well, what's the point? Because you can't see it. It might as well come in brown. So I've found this one. It is the, I'll just show it you there, because it lets your existing case show through, but it's got some nice big knurling on the corner there to stop it do it. And the thing is, as well, when you place it face down, there's an air gap through your screen, so you can you won't scratch your screen surface on it.
Oh, nice.
It's really, really good. Here we go. It's on Amazon, and it's a tenner. Simple as that. And the surface, let me find the picture, because they did say that the surface is scratch resistant. So it got corners here that solved the bang and all that kind of stuff. But there was a picture that showed it as being scratch resistant. And I have to say, there's not a lot of marks or scratching on the back. You get, you know, the kind of sticky finger marks. But it doesn't scratch at all. Oh, here you go. That's the picture. So that's what it looks like for the Aonope, and that's others. It gets scratched on the back, so it is pretty good. It's the phone case compatible iPhone XS Max, phone case compatible iPhone XS Max. Crystal clear case, covers shock absorbing with TFU full protected. It's a big long name. But if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate down halfway through on today's date, which is the 5th of October, you'll see the link for it, because I'm just about to put it in. There it is. No excuses, eh? And thank you, Mr. Campion, for giving me a link to the
Looks like he lost maybe just change the version as well. I think that's the BT60. They're the ones that Aaron's got. I picked the wrong ones.
Oh right, the other ones look nice as well though, so. £20.
Yeah.
Not bad. So those are the ones that you bought for Erin that have got the good battery life?
Yes.
Excellent, mate.
Yeah.
I've also signed up for Amazon Business. And I have to say, it's really impressive because it gives you VAT bills now with everything, and it gives you preference for VAT bills because I'm VAT registered. And I've got to say, the prices aren't any more either, which I thought they would be. I thought they'd say, okay, you're a business, so we'll give you the higher prices. But I've done a few comparisons on Sharon's profile versus my profile, and it's all fine.
Mm.
So, good. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Camp?
You can get me at Campion UK on Twitter. You can get me as Campion UK in Slack. My running stuff is Just Run Chris on Instagram. Yeah, that's where you get me at the moment.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Mr. Gamut, where are you?
I am over at Mac Observer with a bunch of other awesome writers. And I am on Twitter and Instagram, J Gamut, both places. Tons of podcasts, The Big Show, Daily Observations, Apple Context Machine. I kind of get around.
Excellent. Bob has said it's not on Netflix. It's a BBC film. So we'll have to go and see if we can find it somewhere else then. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech. We're going to be back again next week. I think we're on Friday and the Mac show's later. So Mac show's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we're going to really kind of follow straight on with the Big Show from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Because I'm on, this is going to, you're going to be impressed with this, boys. I'm on a blacksmithing course.
Wow. That's cool.
It's cool. It's really cool. So Sharon bought it for me for my birthday in summer. So
are you gonna be making like building us all like Weber barbecue
well
type stuff then?
Well, in my head it's forged in fire, but actually when I get there I might make a letter opener or something like that. I don't know. It's just, you can make some chain link fencing or a horseshoe, and that's about as far as it gets. But no, I'm going to be doing the whole forging thing, you know, heating it up and beating it and looking at it and going, what the hell's that? So, but no, it's 2 days. It's a 2-day blacksmith.
That's really cool.
I'll be fully qualified, I reckon, at the end of that. I'll be a farrier the week after.
I want to see horseshoes.
Oh, you want to see me make a horseshoe?
I'm looking forward to seeing the swords and battle axes you make.
Well, me and Bryony are massively into Forged. Have you guys seen Forged in Fire?
Yeah, I have. I like it.
I love Forged in Fire. We've got three of the series on Apple TV, so we bought them. But she and I are, we sit down and it's like, right, Bird, there's a Forged in Fire, and she'll come down with a inner pajamas and we'll sit, and the treat is to watch one of those late into the night before bedtime. There's been some good episodes of late, and it's really cool. So, we're really into that. So when she found out I was doing it, she was like, can I come? And they don't do the 2-day courses other than weekdays. So I've got to go without her. She's gutted. She's absolutely gutted. And she only wanted to sit there and watch me do it. She didn't want to take part or anything. Just wanted to sit and watch it happen. But no, Forging Fire is a big thing. So in my head, I've got this huge thing. I'm going to make a 15-inch knife in 3 hours. And then I've got another 3 hours to put a handle on it before I have to stab something with it. But it's not. It's going to be a letter opener. It's going to be a paperweight.
Yeah, but it'll still be cool.
Yeah, I'll have this red piece of metal that I'll bash the shit out of for 2 days, and I'll come back and you go, what the hell's that? I say, I don't care.
I don't care, but I feel really good.
It was red, and when I hit it, if I could feel it move. I can see me sitting here next Friday with
the new garden gates.
Both arms in bandages and splints. Yeah. Muller's here operating the mouse for me. Anything could happen in the next 2 hours. So yeah, Big Show is at 8 p.m. normal time next Friday, and Mac Show's at 6 p.m. on Friday. So Doc gets a lie in. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening.